Behold thy father, and I have been seeking thee sorrowing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sorrow is the result of the object that one loves being absent. So when it has been taken away, then sorrow ensues. Our Lady's sorrow upon losing the Christ child was unlike anything we could imagine. And it was something of a preparation for the sorrow of the Passion in those 3 days when she would have to endure the Passion with her son. It was something of a training for the Passion, this loss of Christ in the temple. Sometimes we can have a rather saccharine image of Our Lady and what life was like in Nazareth that doesn't necessarily correspond to the truth. This sorrow, which is the result of losing the object one loves, was never experienced greater than in Our Lady, here in this mystery and in the other seven sorrows, primarily at the foot of the cross. Theologians speak of this term, the pain of loss. And the pain of loss is, in a particular sense, in the moment of death, the particular judgment. The soul is confronted with the Blessed Trinity, for whom the soul was created. And in the Blessed Trinity, we see the reason for our existence. In the Blessed Trinity, we see the cause of our existence. We see our destiny. And the only source of joy. If we are in a state of sin, then the soul spends the rest of eternity with that ordered desire for God, and at the same time, because by nature, but at the same time doing violence against it through the will in rejecting God. Those souls that go to purgatory experience this pain of loss as well, but they have the knowledge that this union with God will come about eventually when divine justice has brought about the proper purgation. Great mystics in this life also experience this pain of loss. We'll talk about that in a bit. But if there are attachments to any disorder, any creatures in this life, then we don't experience the pain of loss in this life because we seek to fill our hearts and our minds with things that are less than our Lord. And this substitute might bring about a momentary satisfaction, but ultimately it's nothing. When there is a conversion and the person turns towards Christ, begins the sacramental life, begins the life of prayer and virtue, Teresa would call this the first mansion, in the beginning of the purgative way, our Lord gives the soul all sorts of consolations. And these consolations are like spiritual sweets, training wheels for the soul, because the soul is still immature and weak. And our Lord gives these created goods, consolations, precisely to help the soul in its weakness to stay the course. When we lose consolation in the purgative stage, there can be 3 reasons that we lose it. Either God is testing us, the devil is messing with us, or we've been unfaithful to our duty. Those are the three reasons we lose this consolation in the purgative stage of the spiritual life. Teresa would divide the purgative stage into the first 2 mansions. So the person in the second mansion then has advanced to mental prayer. And as you'll see in the entire spiritual itinerary, virtue and prayer are 2 tracks. They're 2 rails, so to say, of the one car of the spiritual, of the soul. And they go at the exact same pace. pace. Our virtue never exceeds our prayer. Our prayer does not exceed our virtue. So if there are attachments in our soul, sinful attachments, our prayer is going to be retarded. And if we think to have profound experiences of our Lord, they're not of our Lord, most likely. In the second mansion, towards the end of the purgative stage, our Lord starts to take away these consolations. And this, so the first night that the soul goes through is called the active night of the senses. And this is where I deny myself those creatures that used to bring me joy in the name of our Lord. And then in the second night of the soul, our Lord starts to take away the consolations, and this is His kindness. He's trying to wean us off of the spiritual sweets so that we are attached to Him and not His creature, because consolations are a creature. We don't seek consolations by means of God. That's turning things on their head. Consolations are a creature. We serve the God of consolation, not the consolation of God. And so our Lord, in His kindness, starts to help us to mature by taking these consolations away. And this is called the passive night of the senses. The senses, because these consolations are tangible, that we can feel them. They're in the appetites. As one develops stability and grace, and mortal sin is no longer happening, and our mental prayer has progressed from discursive to affective prayer, we enter into the third mansion, and this is the beginning of the illuminative way. And here we are tested by our Lord with what is John of the Cross calls the active night of the Spirit. And in the active night of the Spirit, our faculties, namely the intellect, the memory, and the will, are going to be purified. And our Lord does this through means of the theological virtues. So the theological virtue of faith will purify the intellect. The theological virtue of hope will purify the memory. The theological virtue of charity will purify the will. Remember that in that beatific vision that the soul sees, either before condemnation or purgatory or passage to heaven, the goal of our entire existence is manifest. And so anything that I filled my heart, my memory, or my intellect with that is not our Lord has to be purged. And so our Lord does this through the theological virtues. And this can be a little disconcerting, especially as we progress in prayer, because all of a sudden I don't feel anything, and that's okay. I don't even have an image of our Lord. Words and reading doesn't work during mental prayer. I can't have discursive thoughts in prayer. Outside of prayer, everything's fine. During prayer, it's impossible, and that's fine, and that's the way it's supposed to be. Becomes less and less defined, much simpler as we progress. Passing from the third mansion to the fourth mansion towards the end of the illuminative, and this is a broad spectrum. The illuminative way is a very broad spectrum, and that's why many don't advance, because they never commit mortal sins. They think that they've reached holiness, and they haven't. And that's why many don't advance beyond the illuminative way. Towards the end of the illuminative way in the fourth mansion, what happens? Our Lord begins what's called the passive night of the Spirit. And this is purgatory on earth. And this is what we see in the lives of mystics. Like Mother Teresa, for example, lived the last 50 years of her life thinking that she was condemned to hell. Padre Pio experienced this dark night of the soul as well. John of the Cross, in his Ascent of Mount Carmel, goes over these four nights. I really recommend you get the book. I found it at a used bookstore when I was in college for 25 cents. It was the best quarter I've ever invested. I really recommend you get a copy of The Ascent of Mount Carmel, and you'll see a profound explanation of these various nights. During this dark night of the soul, it's common for the person who's being purified in this way to think that he's rejected by God, condemned, never going to see God, never going to heaven. And this is the normal way of the saints. Basically, they're having their purgatory in this life. It's like hide and seek. When children play hide and seek, even though they can't find the other kid, he's there. Well, our Lord is there. We don't feel him, we don't see him, we don't sense him, we don't perceive him. And nonetheless, there's just a fact that he is there. Nothing inside me tells me that he's there. And that's fine. This is where we have to remember that our faith is a faith built on facts, not on feelings. Remember, too, that in this sorrow of Our Lady, right, this is also the joyful mystery of finding Christ. And so her sorrow and her joy are, in a certain sense, two sides of one coin. And this is also the path of those who want to be configured with Christ, that our sorrows and our joys become commingled in this life as we start to allow our Lord to make claim on our faculties. And as we give them to him, he purifies them. It's also good that we don't hear much about what happened in Nazareth. There's a certain spiritual modesty there. We ought not speak about our spiritual experiences. We ought to be very modest about what our Lord does in our souls and only share it with a confessor or spiritual director. And follow the lead of Our Lady as she suffered terribly. This was also a virtuous suffering that was rewarded with the joy of the face of Christ. And that's the face that we were made to see forever in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.